You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
I finally got Phil Hoffer or Frumpf.
To
fix my website once when it exploded.
Yeah, I need. He finally got back to me because I told him a long time ago. He's like, you have an open ticket, open invitation to come on the show, and I think he's ready now because I think he's getting his comic easel plugin done.
He's been sick, and there's been family drama issues.
Oh, right. I just never...
And he's busy all the time, like, fixing people's sites.
Well, now's a good time to be promotional and all that sort of thing. I'm so trying to get Iron Spike on the show.
Mm.
Oh, man. She is an awesome lady.
Oh, Diana knows her.
I know, but she is, Spike is just such a busy woman. And
she was at TCAF as well. All these great people were at TCAF, and
I was just gonna say, it's like seriously the best like indie comics, like just trade show kind of thing.
Philippa Rice was at TCAF, and I totally could have met her. Well, I don't have a passport, so I guess I couldn't have.
Yeah,
I'm
you
only
need
like
a...
5 hours away from
Toronto. You can get a passport. Like a mini passport. It's a card which is basically just for driving over the line to Mexico or to Canada, which is much cheaper than a regular passport, as I found out.
Well,
but
yeah, I know there's some
Becky
kind of
and
like
Frank, Becky and Frank was there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And Jess Fink was there, and all these great people.
Man, the first year I went there, it was just kind of like when I was starting to kind of like tentatively put my foot into webcomics and stuff. So like there were a lot of people that I knew, but there were like even more that I didn't. And I talked to Erica Moen for like 10 minutes without realizing who she was. She just had octopus stuff. And I was like, oh, I like octopus.
Oh, yeah. And right now, the Smut Peddler thing, it just opened up to because they reached another level.
Oh, yeah.
They reached 45,000. And this one's the Erica Moen.
Yes, yeah, like all her
and it's
books.
Probably gone already.
Yeah, there are only three.
Wait, let me click the link. Open. Let's take a look. Because like,
I don't
damn.
Have nearly enough volume or presence to go to that as a
Erica Moen special sold out.
There are a lot of people I know who go to it that don't, like, they, you know, either they've just started out or they, like, don't, like, you know, you hear about the big famous people because that's who everybody's like, you know, like, oh my god, I finally get to see that person. But, you know, there's tons of people, like, my one friend, Kat Verhoeven, like, not many people, like, she, sorry, I just turned on the live event. My voice was messing with my head. Yeah, like, she used to do a lot of, like, DeviantArt tournament kind of stuff, but she's not super, like, well-known. So, you know, she was mostly there to promote her stuff. And, like, I think she just started up a webcomic, so, you know, she was just kind of laying the groundwork. And I've got another friend who, like, he doesn't even do webcomics. He mostly does, like, you know, print, kind of like he gets them, like, they're physical comics that he sells. And he does pretty well there.
I guess I got to sign up for this vocal thing, huh?
You can use Twitter to sign on to it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Well, it's too late now. Oh, well. So, is this pretty stable, Fess?
It is as long as, since I don't use the video feed, I need to make sure I type something into the chat every once in a while, otherwise it thinks I'm not here. And it times out, and then I have to re-enter it. But aside from that, I've not had any issues. And we've had some episodes where we had a lot of participation. This is me doing an audio voice test right now, and I seem to be blowing out of my channel, so I'm going to lower myself just a little bit. Kelly, how about you give me a long, rambling sound check?
About any specific topic, or...
Pick up something that has words on it and just read it.
The closest thing to me is fancy shisha tobacco. Actually, it doesn't actually have many words on it, apparently.
Antacid tablets. Extra strength antacid calcium supplement compared to active ingredient in Tums EX. Assorted berry flavors. 96 chewable tablets artificially flavored. Drug facts. Active ingredient per tablet is calcium carbonate USP, 750 milligrams antacid.
Well, I just found out that shisha apparently doesn't have many words on the box, but tea shisha, the story of tea began in ancient China over 5,000 years ago. According to legend, tea rooms and houses were built in order to enjoy tea at social and spiritual levels. Today, tea is the most widely consumed beverage in the world after water. It is proud to be the first to bring tea shisha to the hookah culture. They've developed a tea-based shisha that delivers a world-class hookah experience with all the flavors and none of the nicotine. Experience the evolution of shisha.
All right. Mark.
Okay, ready? The Happiness Patrol. On the planet Terra Alpha, bright fluorescent lights and garish candy-striped colors abound. The population constantly displays happy smiles. There's no sadness on Terra Alpha. Anyone feeling remotely glum disappears. Quickly, having heard disturbing rumors, the Doctor and Ace arrive to topple the entire regime overnight. But they haven't reckoned upon the varied punitive measures enforced by the colony leader, Helen A. There are many delicious ways in which to vanish on Terra Alpha. You can be hunted down by the omnipresent Happiness Patrol or mauled by Helen A.'s ravenous pet, Fifi.
Helen A.? Are you sure it's not Helena?
But those especially unlucky find themselves entertained in the Sweetie Factory, manned by Helen A.'s psychotic henchman, the Candy Man. This time, happiness will prevail.
My Lego Jenny Everywhere comic had it ended with the main bad guy behind the strings is the Candy Fiend, and his whole plan, his whole deal is to steal like ancient candies or something like that. I don't know, like preserved candies. I got the idea from. I don't know. It was a 24-hour comic. I think I got a little bit of an idea of like that from the Simpsons. That one episode where Homer and that, what was that, that gummy version of the Venus de Mayo or whatever it was. It was like, what if there was like ancient candies that were like preserved as works of art, made out of, you know, sugar art.
Oh, he would have eaten them all.
Well, yeah, Homer would have, but, well, we only have 3 viewers right now, and so...
I haven't posted this thing on my Tumblr yet.
Okay. No, it was Jenny Everywhere and the Golden Key, and it was a gold foil-wrapped chocolate key, which she ate at the end of the comic. I have a sequel idea already, but I actually want to do a really good job with it versus a 24-hour... runabout sort of thing. My mom actually took all the images off of, because I just posted it up on Drunk Duck at the time, because boom, it was easy and I had to get it uploaded for 24-hour comics day. She took all the images off and she printed them and put them in a little binder for me.
Oh,
so like
nice.
a little binder book. Because back when I had computers confiscated, I had lost like a lot of files, and I thought I lost the basically the source files for that comic, which means I only had what was online, and that happened for like anything else that I worked on before that year, which wow. Basically I found a couple of backup CDs, and then I eventually found the source files for that, not that I can print and sell it, mind you, because of Lego's fair play clause or whatever. You can't sell.
I don't know why anybody would get into that if they can't use it.
Well, because they can have still have fun with it. Or
I mean, it's fun and all, but it's a lot of work. Like people who, you know, they make their own Star Wars comic or something, and or whatever.
Well, sometimes
it's
just
hell of a lot of work.
Right, right, and they can just have a lot of fun with it, and they can use that as like an additional sort of booster for like other projects that they're doing, like Yamino, who does Sister Claire. I mean, she gets involved with like all these other little things, and. You know, she enjoys doing them, but, you know, I mean, at most she sells, she might sell some prints of this and that, which, you know, people.
She recently did an Adventure Time comics cover, didn't she?
Oh, yeah. I actually want to, talk to her and see if I can mail her the cover for her to sign. I'd also send her, like an Ardra and a Jenny comic, just for extras, but I think that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it seems like there's some people out there who do Star Wars, or there's the fellow we had on the show who did Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't, I mean, it's not like you could sell a, you know, they put so much work into it, and they're quite good, but, you know, what are you going to do with it when you're done?
Well,
you can't sell it, and if you're doing a very long story, I guess like the Doctor Who one, but people do Star Wars and stuff too. You can't publish it. You can't.
No, but the idea
make money off ads. You can't do anything.
Well, you can't make money off of ads. Well, people do anyway.
I don't think you're supposed to, but I mean, it seems
but
like.
But you might get hired by them
make your
if
own
you're good
stuff,
enough.
And then it's yours, right?
Well,
this is I run into this problem a lot because like I basically do a video game parody comic and I really try hard to keep them satirical. Like my rule of thumb is like, you know, would Robot Chicken get away with this? But
sure,
you know, it's still
sure.
Like, you know, I feel weird about selling books and stuff. Like I don't know, I might do a book once the storyline I'm kind of in right now wraps up, but like I tried to do like a storyline thing because there's a bunch of original characters in the comic. And I was like, you know, I really want to like try to do something to like flesh these guys out and do a little more of their backstory and that. And, but you know, it's like the nature of the world. It's like, you know, there's all these other copyrighted characters in it. And it's like, it's so hard to like not feel like I'm just writing fan fiction. it's like, I dance that narrow line.
How many guys do the pony stuff too? That's another thing. They do all the pony stuff, but how are you gonna?
Well, some of
sell the pony stuff.
You have to understand. Sometimes it's just fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's just fun, and then there's working for like 3 years cranking out a comic that you can't do anything.
You build a community, and then hopefully they'll stick with you as you move on. If you do something else, like I was saying with Yamino, she got the opportunity to do that Adventure Time cover because of her popularity in the fan art world as with Adventure Time sort of thing. And that's the sort of thing. If you seem to be good enough, you could be prospected by other people, or you could say or as like in a portfolio, you know, you can look at this and, you know, it all depends. If you are able to take something like that and sell yourself.
Well, you're talking about resume stuff. You're talking about portfolio stuff. But when you do it for years.
Again,
I mean,
because sometimes
like
you just want to.
A blind alley you're running up there.
It can, yes. But I'm trying to tell you, if you do that and you still want to do that, and it seems like that, you can use that to your advantage in some situations. And then again, of course, there's just people that purely just want to do that because they have fun with it. Or maybe they're just too afraid to do something more original. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. But my reasoning, my thinking is that, well, take a look at this. What can you do to take advantage of this without breaking the laws, let's say? Because sometimes, you know, you can't just help why people want to do it and put all that effort into it.
There was actually a big discussion about this on Tumblr the other day where, like, it was, like, one of the guys who co-created Atomic Robo is, like, social waste product fan art, and so many people, like, I mean, so many people took offense to that, but, like, he really had a good point. Like, you know, they say you can be a fan or you can be a creator, but you can't be both because, like, you know, all the time that, you know, there are tons of people who say, like, oh, I've got these, like, big, like, grand stories that are planned out that I'm going to work on someday. I mean, like, I'm totally guilty of this too, because I've got this big story I'm working on, but I mostly do my video game gag comic. But, you know, and they're like, well, you know, how do you know that just because I'm posting all these pictures of, like, Sherlock and Wheatley and stuff on my blog, I'm not writing all these other big stories in my spare time? And it's like, well, all the time that you're spending drawing Sherlock is time that you're not spending doing your own stuff. Like, you know, yeah. my kind of personal way of looking at it is, like, if, like, have I done this before, or somebody else done this before? I just loop back on myself in the vocal chat. Okay.
Oops, sorry.
For some reason.
There we go.
It just
seems there's doing something for fun, or mm-hmm. parody in your case, which is totally cool. Or you make these big grand stories that, I mean, I don't know. It seems to me there are easier ways to get portfolio material, or yeah, to show off your skills rather than work 5 years doing Pokemon, you know?
True, but
original Pokemon
starts. It starts because you want to do something that you have a fun idea with for these characters. It starts as a fan, and then you have yet to produce an example, but if you are talking about people that have done it for 3-5 years on a more like serious level versus like every once in a while, I'm not going to really count that. But if you're trying to do something continuously as fan stories fan stories, you know, just something like that on a continuous basis, I would have to say it could be because of your popularity within fan fiction writing crowds or just fans in general that really have attached to something that you were doing, and that just snowballs and keeps encouraging you to keep doing that. So, you know, that's another factor to consider. You know, you may have people that may not have
peer pressure.
Maybe they do have other ideas, but this is what's really going well right now. I mean, with like ponies, it's like you got a lot of people on DeviantArt, like not like doing like a continuous sort of like storyline thing, but they'll like post like their own like fan fiction story. You know, like a complete.
Yeah, there's tons of those like ask blogs where it's like, you know, if you go on Tumblr, it'll be like, you know, like ask Princess Celestia, or like ask like this person's original character pony or whatever. And it's like, I mean,
and that's
I'm not
going
to tell anybody who enjoys what they're doing to stop doing it, but if you have ambitions to do other stuff, it's like you have to work on the other stuff too, because it's easy to like fall into a rut of like, this is easy to do, and I like to do it, so I'm not going to do anything else.
Right,
it's like eating candy all day.
And with that, I think we're going to take our first break, because I'm just going to record and keep this and see what I do with it. And we'll be right back.
Okay.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
The Geek Life Podcast is, get this, a discussion of all things geek. Technology, movies, television, books, comics, games, nothing is off limits. Join Mike, Paul, Richard, and Melissa at The Geek Life Podcast at thegeeklife.tv.
Did you ever look at the recording of PenguinCon?
No, I have not. I have so much fucking shit to do. I am... I just uploaded the first issue, season 2, episode 1 review, because that was supposed to be done like a week ago. I still have to do the family. I still have to put up the Family Bones comic review that I did, and I still have to review 2 other comics. I took on more work again than I can actually do.
There's a shock.
And then I also have to talk with Adam Smithy about. Or Jim. About working on part 2 of the Ardra script, because there was, well, Adam came up with a script for Ardra and pitched it to, well, he had like this fan fiction, like he was going to do like a thing in his comic, sort of like a crossover on his side sort of thing, and have fun with it, and told Jason the story. Jason liked it. However, when it got to me, it was really changed. So I've already been having to try to fix the script up for logic and shortness a bit, but I'd heard Adam's pitch. I was like, I should have gotten that version. And so I'm going to take the time. Part one's done, and we can't do anything about that. Part two, I want to reincorporate more of what he was doing. And I think some of his ideas will work out a lot better than some of the stuff that I had. And I was trying to think about in order to make what I had work without making it too long. Because it's already looking to be like at least, I don't know, it could be like 40, 50 comic pages right now. And so, but, and, you know, stuff like that. And I still got to do my PSI comic, which I did one, and I need to do another. I got another page inked. I just need to scan it and color it, because I'm trying to do better on that one instead of just cranking them out like I had been. Just basically to get the story out there. And it's like, okay, now I'm just going to take my time and do some more practicing. And so it's just, anyone who showed up into the vocal chat room, hello, if it's... there, I gotta type every once in a while into the chat, or it's gonna close on me. If you have any questions about webcomics or the Webcast Beacon Network, we're gonna see how this goes. I don't know if I'm gonna save this for a show yet, for like an actual like recorded, put it on the website, but we'll see.
Everybody ask like real cutting questions. And
yeah, yeah. In July, I'm wanting to take all of July off from the Webcast Beacon Network. Like, everyone take off. The newscast might still update, and first issue might still update, but it's just all that podcasting.
It's a lot of stuff.
Oh, man, speaking of July, I'm excited. I got my Comic-Con tickets, like San Diego Comic-Con, like, you know, just for sure, like, cemented down. They do the professional registration like so late into the year that I kept worrying I'd like missed an email or something, because it's like they open and they close like that.
All right, we got our first question. I have billions of questions about webcomics. Is that okay? Because I recently started .. You can ask some of those questions.
I don't think we have time for billions.
Yeah, no.
Eventually, I got to call my mom and say Happy Mother's Day.
Think of what your top three questions are. No, but I forgot
because
what
I'll
I was
take doing. Them in circular conversation and just like fill half a show with them.
By the way, if anybody normally like, okay, say if we had like we do sell advertising on the Webcast Beacon Network for the podcasts and the shows, and if somebody did have today particularly sponsored, they wouldn't. It would get moved until I can reschedule the guest that was supposed to be on today, because I'm not a dick. So, but we do. If you go to webcastbeacon.com/advertise, you can check out ways to be an episode sponsor. Just advertise on the site at webcastbeacon.com. Otherwise, if you want to draw our mascot Becky Beacon, and we use basically guests and listeners have drawn Becky in various forms as they'd like. And we've used those as episode covers for various shows. And so if you would like just to, hey, look, this person drew us Becky, go to their website sort of thing. And if you like doing art for other people, hey, come aboard to webcastbeacon.com/art and check it out. We've had like over 100 different contributions. So it's really, really cool. So we got a question. Where are some good forums to start networking to get feedback and help with your webcomic? It's been a while since I've ever been in a forum due to just time constraints. But the one that I, so to speak, grew up with for webcomics was the Webcomic List. I don't know how they are now, but...
No, it's about the same. I recommend that one. I think that's pretty good.
Because they weren't mean.
It's pretty good forum. No, they actually wanted to be helpful, I think, which is rare in most forums. The Comic Genesis one maybe as well, but I don't think there's as much traffic in there.
I think I got a lot of my notoriety kind of starting out around DeviantArt. Like, that was where I was posting most of my stuff before I got my own website. I was on, like, FanArt Central for a while, but I kind of got, like, I don't know. I outgrew FanArt Central. I don't know. But, yeah, DeviantArt was a lot. And it's, like, as kind of shameful as it is to admit it, I think I kind of got a lot of my, like, my name out there just by like hanging around on 4chan and like posting doodles there. Like I would hang around the comics board and people, you know, I'd see a thread where people would be like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if there was a picture of like Gaston and Scrooge McDuck playing poker? And so I'd draw that and post it there. And eventually people were like, where are these pictures coming from?
And then they're like, draw more.
Yeah. Yeah, when it, like, you know, eventually I kind of just bowed out and, you know, like, you know, don't make a big deal out of, like, oh, I'm leaving this place now. But, like, there were, like, because there would be specific threads where people would, like, show up and just draw stuff. And, like, they were really fun. Like, there would be some nights where they'd be like, okay, we're all going to draw Hellboy now. And then the thread would last for, like, as long as people could keep it alive. So I'd sit there for, like, 5 hours drawing, like, pictures of Hellboy, like, rapid fire. And, you know, they'd be like, all right, today's theme is Lobo. And so we'd do those things, but, you know, it started to get to the point where people would get, like, really belligerent if you weren't answering their requests. Like, you know, it's sort of like people would come and they'd pick the ideas that they thought were the most fun, but, you know, somebody would be like, why didn't you draw my Totally Spies fetish picture? And they'd start complaining that, you know, like, all the artists were just, I don't know.
You know, dance how, for me, monkeys, dance!
Do you know how, yeah. Actors say that the best way to learn their craft, like learn how to memorize lines and crap like that, is work on soap operas because you've got to know stuff. You know, there's not a lot of time to do retakes. You've got to know what you're doing. You've got to memorize those lines. And that's that kind of reminds me of what you just said in some of these forums where you can have, you know, your daily challenge type thing. And
yeah,
you got to do some rapid fire stuff. I mean, that's really a good way to learn some of the craft of cartooning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just to, like, meet people and stuff. Like, I think I met, like, a lot of people that I keep in touch with online now from doing DeviantArt, like, original character tournament kind of things. And it's, like, I wouldn't recommend those to anyone now that I've done some, just because, like, it's almost the same thing, like, the whole fan art discussion earlier about, like, oh, you have all this stuff and you can't use it. Like, I did this one called The Colosseum. And, you know, basically the idea of them is everybody puts in, like, a character or two of their own, and then all the names get put in a hat, and they, like, draw them out, and so you get matched against somebody else, and you draw your character fighting their character, and then whoever wins, like, that comic kind of becomes, like, the canon of the overall tournament, and you move on to, like, the next round. So by the end of it, I'd drawn this 108-page comic, but there's absolutely nothing I can do with it because It you know, it depends on 32 other people's chapters to, you know, like, there's the first round is like 32, the next round is 16, the next round is 4 or whatever. And it's like, so there's like hundreds of chapters of stuff beforehand, like if you want to, like, understand what's going on in, like, the very last round. And it's like, I can't make a graphic novel out of it. It's like, you know, a graphic novel's worth of work without a graphic novel's worth of rewards.
Sigh. Well, is there any other questions?
What else is it the Webcomic Alliance? They do, like, the Sketch Tuesday or whatever. Somebody does, like, the Sketch Tuesday challenge or something, or the Wednesday challenge.
Sure. I know there's like a few things. I think there's like a weekly art challenge Tumblr blog or something like that.
That's
I see a lot
probably
of people
what
doing.
It is. That's probably what it is. Hmm. I really need to get on Tumblr. I just don't have a lot of volume.
It's really a dangerous thing. Like, I think that Tumblr gave me attention deficit disorder. I just have this, like, compulsive need to, like, check my Tumblr and, like, just refresh the dashboard. Like, it got to the point where, like, I was, like, playing on Tumblr and I hit refresh and it wasn't loading fast. And so I, like, without even thinking, I went on my iPad and I hit, like, refresh on Tumblr on there. It was like, I'm using Tumblr to wait for Tumblr to refresh. It's just, like, it gets addictive, like, waiting to see what people say to things.
How sad is that? Yeah. I'm like that with Twitter, I think.
All right. Well, speaking of things, just in general, to try to get yourself out there, there's something called that just popped up on Facebook for whatever reason. And I'm actually kind of being a part of is the Webcomic Creators Group. Now, I remember Yahoo Groups back in the day, and I don't remember those being, you know, functional. And so this kind of reminds me of that, and it's pretty interesting so far. I'm actually being involved on Facebook of all fucking things.
I think Karen Howard came up with that. I know she signed me up for it
Okay.
Quite some time ago, and nothing was happening with it, and then I guess they sort of launched it a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Well, but here's the thing. If you're on, like, forums or on Google+, Facebook, anything, you don't want to be a whore. Don't
you probably don't want to be anyway, but
well,
especially,
well,
I guess.
I don't have anything really against whores.
You mean spamvertisers?
Well, no, whores in general. But you have, like, if you're doing, like, drive-by posts, like, hey, this post is really interesting. It's like, this relates to my webcomic. And then you post a big giant banner in the forum post. Or you constantly try to work everything that you post in to be all about my comic sort of thing.
Yeah.
You will get hated real quick. Basically, you're being a spammer that's not a bot. It doesn't make you look good. There's a, like, at least one big guy who is notorious on the webcomic
list.
Oh yeah. And it's like, you know what? For one, his comic wasn't really that good anyway, but, no, we just basically shunned him because he was just a spammer. He's a live spam bot, basically. So yeah.
Yeah, I hate those people.
So don't do that. Don't like in a forum, like it's been a while since I've been in the forum, but the easiest thing to do is just have a regular size banner in your signature. If it doesn't allow images, just have like a text thing. Make your icon, like your avatar, your style of your comic, you know, just a crop, a headshot of you or your main character or something like that. And so, because I know that when I've, like, scrolled through, like, even comments on WordPress sites where they have, like, their avatar and everything, or on forums or whatever, I was like, hey, I kind of like that avatar. Maybe they do that comic or not. Sometimes they just take an avatar from an existing comic that they don't do, but sometimes it is their own comic. And so I was like, I kind of like that art style, and then I'll go check it out. So, like, little things like that. And if you are being, like, a good, a forum member, just, you know, honestly participating and stuff, not forcing yourself to reply just to make sure your signature shows up, actually develop a rapport, you know, that's when you know, because you want peer relationships is basically what you're looking for, because you're not really going to bring in readers as much through these sort of like creator forums, essentially. So this is peer relationship building. We got a question. Do you like fish fingers?
Only with curry.
I'm not a big fish fan, but if there's, you know, malt vinegar around.
What are some tips? Question. What are some tips to get out of ruts where you've been stuck at a certain points in your story? This is a really good question. I'll let other people talk.
I kind of feel like that's where I am now. I guess, it's like I'm getting into the stuff that, like, I started the storyline wanting to get to. But it's like, yeah, it really helps for me if I have, like, a storyline I'm doing, just to kind of, like, outline it ahead of time. So I kind of know the direction I'm heading in, and I'm not just, like, treading water, trying to, like, you know, fill up enough time for, like, the next thing to happen. That is the hardest part of story writing for me, is just, like, that connective tissue. It's like I come up with great scenes, and then I don't know how to, like, string them together. I don't know. It's like sometimes you just kind of got to power through it. Like, you know, it's not going to happen if you just sit around thinking about how you don't want to do it.
Go ahead, Mark.
Gosh, I don't really run into that, I have to be honest, because I'm probably plan out my story better than that. What I do, which I think I've talked about before, is if I have a long story I want to do, I know how it starts, I know what happens, all the main events, and I know how it ends. So I know all the, you know, there are targets I have to hit. And then I just fill in the blanks in between, and that's fairly easy, I find. I don't do an open-ended story. At least I don't think I do that anymore, because that's I think where you get stuck, is if you just have an open-ended story and you don't have a plan or an exit strategy, I guess, as they say in the Pentagon. I mean, you're just going to be, actually, it's a lot like that. You're just going to be stuck there if you don't have an ending in mind, or you don't have at least some kind of plan of how your chapters might go. And I assume this goes more for long form stories. I think this question probably goes more for long form.
Well, it could still work for people that are attempting to do, like, say, gag-a-day sort of setups. Mm. If you just can't, there's the Book of Biff, which is basically a five times a week single panel comic. Mm-hmm. Now,
oh yeah, that's the one where he's got the big crazy eyebrows, right?
Yeah. and it is very difficult to try to come up with something that, because with the one panel, you don't have a strip, you don't. Your setup and punchline is right in the same thing. So it does take a little bit more. And some people are just not apt to that type of writing. I'm not going to say they're not creative. I'm just saying they're not creative in that way. If you're like doing a story comic. Well, actually, I should go back. If you're still trying to do that sort of like not story comic sort of thing, and sometimes it might just be that. Maybe you just don't have anything else to do. Maybe that's as much as you can do, and maybe you should think about stopping or trying something new. If you're doing like a gag-a-day sort of thing, not outsourcing, but like looking to other avenues for inspiration, maybe you just need somebody else on. If you have a decent enough audience, you can take some suggestions from the fans. You can talk to some of your some of your peers and some of your friends, see if they have any ideas on directions to go. Even maybe a full reversal, maybe try doing a storyline if you're doing sort of gag-a-day, short form sort of thing. Try something else, add a new character. if you got a storyline, when I was doing PSI when I first started, you know, I was attempting to do the gag-a-day sort of thing. That didn't work. So it quickly became a story comic. And I would have ideas in my head, and I would basically draw as I'm thinking about what's happening next. And I wouldn't exactly know what they were saying until I got it on the computer and I'm adding the text. Like none of this I would have some ideas and stuff. But once I stopped and just took some time and wrote, like, a general script ahead of time, it was typically dialogue-driven and character-driven, so I didn't really have to say, like, a whole lot of description of scene and everything like that other than where they are, because it's just more like a note for myself and to get it out of my head. Now, if you're doing something, like, a little bit more elaborate, certainly you want to really think about your script and placement, especially if you have somebody else doing the art. But if it's just you writing ahead of time, just basic outline of what you want to do, and if you got like a whole page, you can try to see if you can work it out so that by the end of each page there's something that kind of ends a thought or is a different sort of question lead up to the next page. It's a little bit more difficult when you're, you know, updating in long form on the internet, and we're not going to go into that, but it gives you, if you write ahead of time, things can open up for you in the storyline of placement, of how it could be better. I started thinking about if I were to print it, how would I want this to be? Would I want these two pages to be, like, opened up next to each other? Would it look really good like that? Or if there's a reveal, where should that reveal be on the page, sort of thing? I got to think about it a little bit more like that. And I never solidified it. Sometimes I would be doing the comic and I get to the point where it's already written, but I got my muse gave me a much better idea. I didn't want to do it, but it worked a lot better for the story. And so basically think of the first draft as this writing ahead of time. You can get all the regular ideas out of your head, and then you could get more as you move on, sort of thing. So, and then just like, there's a lot of, I mean, I'm sure if you look online, there's a lot of probably exercises. You could think about, if you are certainly like you're facing hiatus because you just don't know what to do anymore. Be honest with your fans, or if you have any readers, and just say, okay, I'm getting a little burned out on the storyline, and either purposely go on a, like a month-long hiatus to recharge your batteries, or maybe just say, all right, we're going to do an intermission. We're just going to do something fun and ridiculous for a while, and just something to get your creative juices going.
For me, it's like the hiatus wouldn't really help me, because it's like if I leave in the middle of a task that, you know, I'm sick of and I don't want to do it anymore, then I just have to come back to the same like place where I'm sick of it. It's like it really helps for me to like sit down and think of like, all right, how can I push past this? Because I feel kind of like if you're getting bored writing it, then people are getting bored reading it. So, you know, it's sort of like when you read The Hobbit and there's like the interesting stuff that happens in the beginning and the interesting stuff that happens in the end. And then there's like, and they were in the forest and they were in the forest and they were in the forest. And it's like, all right, you don't want to be stuck in the forest forever. Like, you gotta like figure something out, like, you know, keep people like interested in what's going on. So,
well, we're gonna drop this question and then take a quick break and be right back.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We're also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
And we're back. I don't know how this works with vocal, since I record it differently than vocals recording it, clearly, because I don't think I can just edit vocal once it's up. But we're doing basically a Q&A session today. I might try another Q&A session tomorrow, more structured. Not tomorrow, but like next Sunday. We'll see how it works. Oh, I remember what I wanted to do. Since I wanted to take the month off in July for the Webcomic Beacon, I'm planning to basically go on vocal and do live versions of panels that I do at conventions. So I got like a webcomics panel, a podcasting panel, and then I'll just leave those up on vocal for people to check out. I'll see if I can incorporate the slides that I use from PowerPoint or whatever. They're not incredibly important, but if I can add a little bit extra than just a static image, I'll try that. But it's supposed to be something that's supposed to be relatively easy for me. Also, we lose our spot as a staff pick if we don't have at least three live shows a month. So I can't entirely take it off unless I live one of the other shows if they choose to go. But yes, our regular guest, the guest that we were supposed to have on, I think we had a miscoordination about time zone, and I apologize about that. So, and I don't know how to edit the title of this episode until after it's done or not. I don't know. We'll see how things work. The show might still go up in some form on Wednesday. We'll see. I got to think if there's any sort of news. Are there any sort of things happening in the webcomics world, guys?
I'm just going to see if I'm... I feel like I'm still doubling back on myself. I don't know why. Like, I keep hearing my voice like echoing. I left the chat room because it was distracting hearing myself. Yeah, I left the vocal chat because I was worried that was the problem.
Are you hearing yourself?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to hang up and recall that usually fix it. All right, I'm still here, still on the line, and give everybody a call back.
Hello.
Hello.
Is that better?
Seems to be.
All right.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Yeah.
What are you using for?
I'm sorry.
For your...
There's all that mess in the.
That's fine. What are you using for your audio right now? What do you got? What's your setup for for vocal and listening?
I was just going into the vocal chat and turning.
No. Physically.
I'm just talking into the built-in computer mic because I still haven't gone and found like a different mic.
All right. If you send me your email address, I'll send you. I got another box here of analog headphones. Plus, I bought like a cheap analog to USB plugin.
Okay. So
you can check that out and see if that'll work for you. I know with a Mac, Melissa has a Mac, and when she records The Geek Life, an affiliate of the Webcast Beacon Network, at thegeeklife.tv. They talk about geeky things. Anyway, she has a Mac, and she needs an extra, for analog-wise, she needs this extra plug-in because Macs don't have a microphone in. They have a line in, which is not the same thing. So the audio is going to be a bit different, as far as I understand. But yeah, you can email me your address and I'll send you this kit. It's, I think it's the last one I got. Basically, I bought a whole bunch for, some people that are working on the show. So,
okay. Oh, I really appreciate it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. My old one, I knew I could hook up a headphone with it. Cause, when I was in school, I used to just like, you know, plug in the headphone I was trying to use last week, and talk to people on Skype while I was animating. But I don't know, I guess the new generation of Macintosh computers are more difficult.
Well, yeah, the Intel Macs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people can't tout about, oh, Macs are so great, as much anymore because they're not proprietary built.
So.
They're even more easily attackable these days, especially as they're being more popular. Yes. I would say
I hated that whole advertising campaign that was like, oh, we don't get viruses. I was like, don't tell people that.
Because people are going to make viruses for you. And
the only reason they don't have viruses is because people don't bother to make them.
Right. And it usually requires different programming, of course, for the Mac system, because Mac doesn't use .exe. So, excuse me, we got another question here. How useful is it to speak to your local comic shops about your webcomic if you're an amateur? I wouldn't. Don't go into a local physical comic book store and talk about your webcomic.
If you have stuff to sell, it could be a good idea. Like, a lot of comic shops that I've been into, at least, will have, like, a little section for indie books. Like, some of them will have, like, a whole webcomic section, like, The Beguiling, I've talked about them a couple times in Toronto. They've got tons of stuff for, like, indie stuff and underground stuff and, like, all these comics. So even if you just had, like, something you Xeroxed at, you know, like Kinko's or something, they would probably take that, put it on their shelves. But even other stores, like, the one that's closest to me right now, like House of Secrets in Burbank, they've got, like, a bunch of webcomic collections there. So, like, if you're just starting out, you might not want to talk to them. But if you've got books or, like, material like that to sell, then it could be a good idea to ask them if they'll put it on the shelves.
Yeah, if you're just talking about your webcomic, I mean, maybe after if you talked with them and you already kind of know them, you can be say, hey, I do a webcomic. But you're talking with a retailer, person whose business is selling physical books. If you got a book, you can see if they do. I know there's a couple places around here that I've been to, and I actually got to go and bring some books. Of course, in that situation, I've never dealt with them. I have no idea what the profit split share is, if much of anything. If you have like your standard size a print comic, like 20, 26, 28 pages, something like that. If you go and print on demand anything, like through Kablam or something, that's going to cost maybe about $3 to print that book. If it's this is color, so you would usually sell that for $5 or $4 at most. So you'd have to talk to them and see how much they're going to take for a profit and how much you're going to get for a profit. I've never done with that, so I can't say how it works. There's things to consider.
It would probably be a situation where they buy it at like a wholesale price and then they sell it for whatever their markup is instead of just like working out a profit split. You would just sell them like 10 books or something want to give them.
No, I understand though. Like you wouldn't sell them. You wouldn't, that's how it would work. It's like, say like your book is $5. Well, they're not going to buy it for $5.
If that's like the wholesale price, then they might like buy it for $5 or $4.50 or something, and they'd choose what the markup is. So it's kind of like, you know, like you get that price difference between like buying direct from the supplier or buying from like a store or outlet.
Well, wholesale would be how much it costs to print it and make it. That's not wholesale. Wholesale doesn't include what your profit would be, I don't think.
Mm. At least I think it also depends what kind of comic do you do. Because keep in mind, a comic book shop is catering mainly to a superhero demographic. Not entirely, but if you go
depends
in
on
one,
the
you'll see the vast majority of comics are superheroes. So if you're not doing the superhero thing, I mean, they do have other things. It's true. Well, I don't know. It
really depends on like the store, because like a lot of stores are kind of like tailored to the region that they're selling in. Like if you go to Silver Snail in Toronto, like it's totally superheroes and stuff. But yeah, again, like Beguiling, the whole first floor is like indie comics and art books and European comics, and the second floor is like, you know, Marvel, DC and stuff. And I think they still make most of their money selling the superhero stuff, but like they definitely have the big wide range. When I was going to Sheridan, there was a comic shop that was like really close to the school. It was like, you know, a few blocks away by the train station, and they had a whole section of like just student books, kind of like not just comics, but like if you had like a little art book or something or like sketchbook that you were selling, then they had this whole rack that was just, you know, student sketchbooks and stuff. So
that's a neat idea.
Yeah, it was like really cool stuff.
I guess it depends on the size of the shop and where they are. But it's something to keep in mind if they don't cater to a more independent or student person.
It seems like a lot of comic shops now are like, to survive, they kind of have to diversify. Like it's not enough to just sell like, okay, I've got my Marvel and DC books, because like, you know, the weekly things, a lot of people are trying to buy those digitally because, you know, they don't want like stacks of these, you know, issues filling up their place unless they're collecting them for like a specific purpose. And a lot of people are buying trades and stuff off Amazon, so they kind of have to carry stuff that's harder to find or more. Like, if you go to any city's, like, really big shop, you know, like, Beguiling has their super diverse lineup. Meltdown in Los Angeles, you know, they've, like, half the store is art books and merchandise and figurines and just, like, all this stuff that, you know, like, you might not be able to find, like, you know, they've got like the Glenn and Henry Forever that's like some little indie book that, you know, a group of artists put together where they were just like, I think it started out like, what would happen if Glenn Danzig and Henry Rollins like fought each other, and it turned into like, what if they were in a committed relationship with each other? So it's just a whole book of like little cartoons of like Henry and Glenn's married life.
Yeah. Henry's aware of that. He has not read it.
The quote on the back of the book is like Henry Rollins, like, has Glenn seen this?
There's a big stink with them. And from what I've heard from Henry Rollins, saying rightly so. But that's neither here nor there, of course. let's see here. I don't know. Yeah, whatever. So we got that. Hey, if you got another question, we'll just keep going. Just bring them up one at a time. And if anybody has any questions about webcomics or the Webcast Beacon Network, as while we're waiting for the next question, I'll probably do this again at another point. But, you know, the Webcomic Beacon has been around since 2007. Originally started with me and Tanya Higgins. I try to get a lot of webcomics reviewers from the webcomic list to do a podcast. It kind of was born out of a 60-second review show podcast that I had done called 2 Cents in 60 Seconds, where I'd quickly review a webcomic in 60 seconds. It was kind of fun, but very gimmicky.
Yeah.
But we started off with talking about a lot of webcomics topics for amateur creators and things like that. It was like kind of like by amateurs for amateurs sort of thing. Since then, we've hit a lot of topics already, and I don't entirely know where. I mean, this is episode 230.
Man, I've listened to almost the complete archive of the show, because I would just like put it on while I was working, and it's like, man, it's just like
girl.
The No, it's cool hearing the evolution of, like, you know, you hear, like, a show topic, like, early on way at the beginning, like, oh, conventions, and then you see, like, a couple of years later, it's like, oh, the convention episode again, and just, like, how much new experience everybody's, like, brought to the table, and it was fun listening to you guys grow up.
Aww.
Making my day, we didn't have any vocal.
Yeah.
And you used Skype.
We used TalkShoe. We used TalkShoe.
TalkShoe, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's got it so easy now.
All right.
My thing didn't have none of this fancy vocal stuff.
Go back to not New England. We of course evolved since then. This year we've been just really doing like a lot of interviews and collective sites, showcases and sort of things like that. Still want to get back on some old topics. If anybody's listening and has a recommendation for a topic revisit, by all means let us know. We'd like to get guests on that would be better to talk about said topics. So if you feel like you are a person of authority for a topic or know somebody that we should try to get on, granted, the more popular they are, the more difficult they will be to get on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just send us an email, webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And I think, like, last year ago, I rebranded the Webcomic Beacon into the Webcast Beacon Network so that we could do other ideas. And with that came Web Fiction World, which is kind of getting slow to go again, but I'm trying to get our webcomic readers to read serial web fiction, and we can update basically kind of like an audiobook, sort of like a weekly audiobook offering, and see how that works. You know, get some content out there and see how people like it. Because if there's one thing that we do on the Webcast Beacon Network is experiment with things, try new things, and well, we failed a lot, but we also tried a lot, and
cried a lot.
Yeah,
when we failed a lot.
Marcus brought this up on one of the episodes of First Issue, and I think he was quoting somebody, but I don't know who. But he said, basically, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And that's true.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's like a Wayne Gretzky quote or something.
That sounds about right.
Certainly sounds like a sports metaphor there, but it's absolutely true.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't win if you don't play.
Right, right. You can't lose either, but, well, then again, you might already be a loser. Yeah.
That was like, I remember, it's like, this is so far removed from webcomics at this point, but I remember one time, like, you know, we have this ramp going up to our house, because my mom has, like, MS, so she's in a wheelchair, and my brother was, like, standing on the ramp and shooting, like, basketballs at this, like, you know, basketball hoop way at the end of the driveway, and so I was like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll try it, and I got out of my first shot, and I was like, I'm never gonna do this ever again, because right now I'm going at 100%.
That's right, you're a winner.
Yeah.
Hot dog. So, yes. So, let's see here. Oh, so there's some news on Marcus from the first issue. I haven't really mentioned this in the show yet, and I might mention it again next week, but we'll see. Marcus went to the hospital. He's 29. Went to the hospital for some bleeding. Found out he has colon cancer.
Wow.
And that was a bit of a shock. But I also found out later that it's not entirely a shock because it's kind of a hereditary thing. However, it doesn't sound like anybody who's had it in his family beforehand had it in the same area as anybody else. So it's like, you know, you could, you know,
random.
He was really, well, fortunate, I guess it was just colon cancer and not like on the heart or on the lung or something like that. Something a little bit more serious. So that's good. They did some surgery. It was bigger than a softball.
Wow.
It might have weighed up to 20 pounds.
Oh my God.
So they're going to do some chemo to clean up some areas, and such like that. So things sound pretty positive. He's in better spirits. And so we're hoping for a nice recovery, of course, and for him to get back on the show. But we might have some guest reviewers on First Issue. We'll see. But as soon as he's out and able to, he said, we're taking you to the Avengers. we're going to take him out to see the Avengers. Because I just saw that yesterday with my mom and my dad. Mm. So, and that's the second time I saw it.
Still need to see that.
Oh, you got to see it. It is great.
And Dark Shadows is out. I'd like to see that. Yeah.
It's like Avengers was fun, but I kind of prefer the movies about the individual heroes more just because, like, there's no room for a story in a movie with that many characters. So it was like, you know, it was a fun popcorn movie, but it was like the plot was there are bad guys and the Avengers fight them. Like, I heard all these people who are like, you know, like, oh, don't anybody spoil this for me. I have to see it as soon as possible so it doesn't get spoiled. It's like there isn't anything to spoil in the movie. There are bad guys and the Avengers fight them. They make a team.
Sad thing is that I don't think you'll ever see a Justice League like that because they just DC just doesn't seem to be on the ball with their superhero movies that way. They take so long in between them and they can't seem to tie them together.
Well, yeah, Marvel ones are all like Marvel tried to build up a movie universe, like there's like the Marvel comic universe, but DC, it's kind of like, you know, like Green Lantern doesn't exist in Nolan's Batman universe.
Yeah, stuff like that. So, and
Marvel
they were
actually
talking
said
about
that.
Doing a and I think they have since scrapped it, but they were talking about just doing one with all new actors playing all the roles, which would be fine. But
you,
I think
you
got to
do that after the Batman Dark Knight Rises. And I thought that was still sort of the plan because even Marvel said, ridiculed DC for their movies and basically said, you know, we spent all this time building basically the universe, which is really smart. And especially ever since they took back their properties and they are making the movies because they make the stuff. So they should know how to make a movie, not somebody that doesn't know what the frick the source material is. Speaking of which, I saw Punisher Warzone last night.
Warzone was actually a really good... Oh, Warzone was the one with Ray Stevenson, right?
It was
the best movie I've seen, like, based on... Because, like, I'm a huge Punisher fan.
Yeah.
And that one was, like, shot for shot, the Punisher Max story. Like, that's the closest they've ever gotten to making, like, a comic book Punisher movie. Like, it's so much truer to the story, to the spirit of the Punisher than, like, the Thomas Jane one or the Dolph Lundgren one.
This isn't the one with Roy Schneider's in it.
It's...
Not the one with John Travolta. That's the one from 94.
Yeah, this one's like Ray Stevenson. Like he was Titus Pullo from Rome. But he was Volstagg in Thor.
So the director actually went to and found like Punisher geeks and asked them what needs to be in a Punisher movie, what makes the Punisher Punisher, etc. And that's what she did. And that's what I was looking for. I was not looking for regular critics reviews, movie reviewers. I wanted to know what the actual fans thought, because if it's true to the source material, that's what's most important to me. Granted, it's still it's flopped.
I think one of the big reasons it flopped was kind of the same reason like the Edward Norton Hulk one did, was it was so close on the heels of another one that didn't do very well. So people were like, oh, it's a sequel. I don't care. Which is really a shame because it's the best Punisher movie that's come out so far.
And the Ed Norton Hulk, that was fantastic.
I missed that one. I saw the first one.
Just pick it up. Yang Lee one. It's not really a superhero movie as much as it is it's sort of like an action drama. Very dramatic. A lot of good writing, I think. It was just... And Ed Norton. Anything in Ed Norton, you know.
I think the best critique I heard of the Avengers was it's the best Hulk movie that's come out yet.
Oh, my God. The Hulk is just... okay, Mom and Dad had to get up and go to the bathroom at one point. Dad just got up and I told Mom... If you go now, you will miss less, because it was getting towards like the last act. And it's like, no, you have to go right. It was like right when Banner was transforming into the Hulk for the first time. And that's about when things just start and then they don't stop. So I'm not telling you exactly. I'm just Okay, come on. You know that Banner is going to transform into the Hulk at some point. That's not a spoiler.
Oh, dude, you just ruined it. Man, what?
It's like, oh no, you spoiled it. Banner turns into the Hulk.
Damn it, F-Wig.
Oh, man.
So anyway, if there's any more questions from the chat room, again, that girl that asked three questions, if you have any more questions, feel free to ask them. We're going to take our last break and come back and sort of finish this up and see what happens.
So there.
And point one big memories. They can make a man fall to his very knees. A dose of mission from just a little tease. Thank God for the undergroove and the side groove too. Thanking God for the undergroove and the side groove too. Nipples are great, but nipples can wait. That it doesn't have to be bare. Just a little tease can cause the strong to stare. Even from below can pull us out of despair. The angels in heaven will sound the fanfare. Thank God for the underboob and the side boob too. I'm thanking God for the underboob and the side boob too. Nipples are great, but nipples can wait. Sundered and undone shall be whole by the two setting suns. Thank God for the underboob. Nipples can wait. Underboob, underboob. Underboob, underboob. Underboob, underboob.
Yes, you heard right. The name of that song was Underboob by Possible Oscar from the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. I think not next week. There's no show next week, but I'm going to see if I can get Jack on May 27th. Apparently, he had some internet issues, so he said anytime after the 15th. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. Since I didn't actually have anything scheduled for the 27th, we'll see how that goes.
It works out well because, like, I guess there was a wedding that I thought it was the last week, but it is like next week. So it's like, oh, that's good. I don't need to worry about, like, I don't know, missing anything for this wedding.
Yeah, there's a lot of people on Twitter talking about their moms.
Because it's Mother's Day.
Oh, right. Let's see here. So checking a few things. Oh, yes, I've been looking at new hosting. One thing that happened with the Rampage Network recently, they're hosted on Dreamhost.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the whole network is on a couple of VPS servers. And in the last 365 days, we've definitely not been online for 99%. I would say we've been online for less than 99%. So therefore, well below what their uptime guarantee would be. Because it's like, this isn't the first time in the last 365 days that the site has been down for 3 days. This is not Horatio's fault. This is Dreamhost's fault.
Yeah, I've had better luck with Dreamhost than other places because, like, Manly Guys is hosted on Dreamhost too. But yeah, we had some. It wasn't totally their fault because their server got, like, hacked or something. So they were trying to, like, do damage control and, like, get everything like running smoothly again, but I don't know.
Right, right. So I've been trying to tell Horatio that he should find a new host. And also TGT Media, Kurt's looking for new hosting because he's running into some troubles with his sort of roundabout hosting way with TalkShoe. For some reason, right now he's not able to upload any more episodes. Weird. So he's kind of needing to look for new hosting.
I use StartLogic. I can't really squawk about them.
But it's hard to find people that are going to be at, like, the level of traffic that we have. I mean, we're podcasts. Yeah. We have big files that are downloaded at, you know, so many at a time. So I know the kind of bandwidth that I use. I'm trying to see how much bandwidth Webcomic Z uses, which can't be that much. And so it's really hard looking. So it's basically, from what I found out, for people like us, we're going to have to be on a VPS, because we're just going to have probably too many people accessing large files at a time that they'll have to suspend the account, which is what happens when you have shared hosting. It's usually the thing. You can usually get away, if you're just small time, you could probably get away with, unlimited plans that people offer, and you know, it's really, really cheap, and for the most part, if you're just small, that'll do you. Who opened the car door? What's going on?
Oh no,
are you in a storm?
I think there's a plane flying overhead. I'll put my hand.
A plane. The plane.
I'm close to the Bob Hope Airport.
That's funny. So hosting, yeah, it's basically, I've been just doing investigations on hosting, and for one thing, I got to tell you, people that are looking for hosting, do not trust any host review site. They conflict way too much. I found a review site that reviews, web host reviews. Like review sites that reviews them and points out, you're lying, or this is suspicious sort of thing. So that's been kind of helpful. But basically, you got to talk to people that are already being hosted by something and see what they like. And then I brought this up in the Facebook webcomic creators thing, and people are telling everybody what they're using, like Media Temple, Liquid Web, Bluehost. Some people are fine with Dreamhost. Maybe they don't have that much traffic. I don't know. That's the thing. If you have considerable traffic, it's hard to know what that magic number is, but you typically want to avoid the unlimited plans if you are having decent traffic, because if you get too many people accessing your site at one time, they have every right to suspend your account because they're on shared hosting. The other people on that server are being affected by your overabundance of use at
that
a particular time.
That happens to me a lot. I like Dreamhost right now is the best I've had for. I was with another one called like InMotion Hosting before, and they I had no idea what was happening. You know, this is the first website I've ever had, and it would just be like, "Oh, your site's down," and I was like, "What? Why?" And this is when I had like 8 comics on the site, and they were like, "Well, too much traffic." I was like, "I don't understand," and I was like, "Why can't you support my?" And I guess part of it is just WordPress systems are horrible on caching, so you really have to make sure you have like
there's a plugin for that,
like super cache or something.
Yep.
Like just plugins to work it.
And basically what the super cache does, if I don't have it on any of my sites, I probably should, it basically makes a static page so that it doesn't, like, if you go to a particular link, there's a static page versus making WordPress recompile that page, because that's how WordPress basically works. It takes all this different code from here and there, recompiles it on the server side, and then presents it to everybody. So if you're a high traffic site, your host is going to notice that. So it kind of makes a pseudo static page, and it's supposed to save. It might take a little bit longer for it to load for the user, but these days it's nominal. It almost really doesn't matter. But then again, if your servers, because otherwise it does all the extra work on the server end and then presents it to the reader. But if you got a lot of people accessing your site at one time, well, the server's going to get taxed clearly before it can put it out. So, you know, there are reasons. We're actually having a fairly decent episode, I think.
In spite of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little bit of talk about the Avengers, a little bit of talk about web hosting.
Oh, we go off topic a lot, and it's fine.
I told you I listened to the full like archive of the show.
Oh yeah, and I'm sorry. There's one thing in the archives, which was basically we're trying to brainstorm session for like a whole month. And I started getting emails saying they're kind of getting bored of it. And so I stopped. It was supposed to be like 5 shows, but I dropped it to 4 because of that. But, you know, I think it was solid for what it was. I thought it was an interesting experience. There was a couple other episodes I wasn't too big of a fan about. Some shows that we've had where I didn't particularly think the... Well, some of the guests that I had on, I'm not going to name names, clearly. But I don't think they went a little bit more advertising than I actually wanted the show to be. And I don't really like that. I like more conversational sort of things, having some fun, you know, getting to know them versus plug, plug, plug. Unless we're, you know, sometimes I've had people every on once in a while, and once in a while during the show would just go and do a big plug rambling because it's kind of funny. But versus an infomercial, there was a one particular show I'm thinking of which felt more like an infomercial to me, and I didn't like that. But not naming names, and you will never get the name out of me for that. But it's there, and it was, and you learn and you grow. You know, that's, you know, with any sort of creative process, you learn and you grow. I'm not one that's just gonna take something down because I didn't like it. It was still a viable episode. And here we have another question. If you feel eager to skip important parts just to jump ahead to the fun bits, how do you handle this? I'm guessing we're talking about storytelling.
You don't.
Yeah.
You're going to end up with some wonky pacing. Man, pacing is like my bane. It's like one of the things I always like. It's like I just grapple with in the comics medium is just pacing stuff. Like even like full out graphic novels, it's like so many of them, it's like they're just trying to cram, like, you know, so much, like move from like the exciting thing to the exciting thing, and you get no sense of like scale of like how much time has passed. I mean, I guess the easiest answer is like just to jump ahead and do, like, I feel like that's almost what happened with like Scott Pilgrim. Like I am not the biggest fan of the Scott Pilgrim comics. Like a lot of people would totally disagree with me on this, but the pacing on it, like it felt like a web comic that wasn't written to be read as an archive. Like it just, everything was so like punctuated. It was like a thing happened and then like, stop, full stop, a thing happened, full stop. And everything was just very like staccato almost. And it, you know, it bothered me kind of reading the story like that. But I think that's what you end up with if you just kind of like jump to the fun bits.
Right, right. And you need that build up. Otherwise you have a fucking Michael Bay movie where it's like, oh, like the third movie, it's like action, action, action. And I'm like, I'm kind of bored now because it's like, do I care anymore? But there's something to be said about not letting your story drag either.
It's
another,
like,
plane flying over your house.
Yes, I'm sorry. I tried to put my hand over the door. I was like, oh, I want to talk now. I closed my window to like minimize the sound. I think like the biggest, like just putting in like, I don't know, like treading water kind of just enough so people understand the sense of scale, because I'll read things so often where it's like, you know, they'll be talking and it's like, oh, and now it's 3 months later. And it's like, that doesn't feel like, you know, I don't have the emotional investment in this to have assumed that like 3 months have passed. Or,
right,
you know,
right. You can jump in time if you've had a closure point. Like in PSI right now, I have, if I can freaking update and get to it, I have a sort of end. And I don't know where to go after that. And I think just like jumping a year later ahead and things have settled in the sort of thing where I don't need, like when I first started, I felt I needed to connect every single strip from one of itself to its, to the next one. And you don't need to do that because you don't need to have shots of them sleeping. You don't need to have, you don't need to spell out every single action. You can make, you know, short time jumps. You can, You don't need to tie absolutely. You're not making a TV show.
Yeah, it's well, it's kind of like Game of Thrones kind of does this really well by like juggling a couple different storylines at the same time. Like, you know, they'll have something like a person, like say they're like, okay, we're suiting up for this big battle. And then they're, you know, the last time you see that guy, he's heading into the battle. And then they'll cut to like what this other guy's doing. Yeah. And they'll do like, okay, so then she's meeting with these important dignitaries. Mm-hmm. And then they cut back to the battle and it's like, oh, it's been going on for a month and now it's over. And so it's like you still get the sense, like you didn't have to put in all that like kind of in between meandering, but you get right. the sense that like this thing started and then other things were happening other places and then this thing's over now. Like, you know, it doesn't just feel like the battle started and then the battle ended. It's like
the battle, you know, the battle yeah. overed quickly. No, yeah, that's the thing. The multiple storyline aspect is a really good idea. Goblins does this. I think there's at least three different groups of characters that have their own stories. And it really helps break up, like, if it's starting to feel like it's going on a little bit too long. Or maybe if the creator themselves is, maybe, like, I'm tired of drawing this scene, this sequence. If you can end it on a sort of note somewhere where, okay... Either it's like an anticipation drop, like, oh, it's them, and then you cut to another sequence of other characters. You know, that can be good. Or if something just sort of ends comfortably, you know, you can end it there. You know, you got to be able to have that end point before you that works well enough to pause for a while. And then move on to something else. Cause that can also help if you're getting a little bit bored and then you can be like, all right, I got to go back to these guys. And I did that with PSI. I had a couple of different characters going back and forth and I would purposely jump to not explain some stuff to let people guessing a little bit more. So it has to work with the storytelling itself. So it's like, you need to, keep the important stuff. You know, you need character building. You need to build up to certain points that makes it, like the payoff.
Well, like, yeah, it's a good way to show your audience that, like, you know, it's like, you don't need to see this part, but the world is still turning. Like, I was watching this movie, I think it's called Warlord. It's a Jet Li movie, I think. Like, it's one of those, it's kind of by the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon guys, but it's very, it's very like realistic and kind of toned down and gritty. And it's like, you know, it's supposed to, I think it's a real story or something. Like I watched this movie years ago, but there's part where they've got the whole, army and it's like marching on Nanking. And so they're like, okay, we're going to take Nanking. And then the very next scene, it's like, we've taken Nanking. And it's like, okay. It's like, it made
easy.
The whole thing. Well, it made it feel like the movie was still like 3 hours long or something, but it felt like a 5-hour movie that got chopped down to a 3-hour movie. It didn't feel like, you know, like kind of this war epic unto itself. Just because, like, you know, they did cuts like that where, you know, it was just kind of like, and it, like, then we like got our objective.
Well, let's take a look at our time here. Doing good for, I'm definitely going to post this as an episode. Don't know what the hell I'll call it yet, but. No, this is really, really, really good. And I do have to say, once again, we're using vocal.com, VOKLE.com, to broadcast our shows live. You can go to webcastbeacon.com/live, and that'll link you to the Vocal. There's also the Ustream link up there as well, because I think the Tropecast uses Ustream for recording their shows anyway. So that's kind of like a one-stop spot for that. And Vocal, you know, I love the question section. And like I said, in July, I am planning to do a couple of they might not be on Sundays. We'll see when I have them, but I want to do I want to do this a little bit more often. If people have I like to do my webcomic website evaluation sort of presentation. It's a non-technical sort of workshop, if you will. Where I take a webcomic website, and I give an evaluation of it. And there's some people that have been through it that actually utilize my things. Because, you know, I will be honest, I don't know the code. I can't help you with the code. But if you know the code or know somebody that can do the code, there are things that you can do, like tightening up dead space. Maybe you have things way too close together. Maybe this entity would be better moved on the left side or the right side, or where your ads are, or how you have your menu. Just things like that. I mean, there's no... I mean, it's like if you load like a comics plugin or theme, like Comics Press, Webcomic Inkblot, Manga Press, Strip Show, any of those things, you know, they have their default. And ever since Frumpf really took over Comics Press and made like, you know, everyone's like, oh, that's a Comic Press site. It looks so much, it's easily a Comic Press site because people didn't really edit the thing. But then he like made like, I think it was like Comic Press like 2.9 or something like that, where it looked really nice. Actually, it's like, ooh, that's a Comic Press site, it looks good. You know, it's just you know, the defaults, they can work, but to really make it your own, you got to keep some things in mind when you're editing things, because I've seen some sites that just have way too much crap on the top. They just push and push and push their comic down. So all these things. So if there's people interested in that, I can do that a little bit more often, not as like an actual episode I'm going to record, because that's incredibly visual. But I could put together something on Vocal, which will do a webcomic website evaluation. So basically, you can email me I'll set up like some time. I'll post like a, okay, this date, and if you can show up, we'll do that. And I think it'll be fun. And then I'll do my podcasting thing. I'll see if I can get Kurt on to do the podcasting panel and record that on Vocal for people to check out, sort of thing. So, you know, have some fun with that. You know, you can email me at webcomicbeacon.com. Webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. If you have any other questions or whatnot, go to webcastbeacon.com to check out more of the other offerings that we have. We got the Webcomic Beacon newscast, occasionally a Tropecast and Web Fiction World, and of course, First Issue, trying to get that out again. It just launched episode 1 of season 2. It's a really bad comic, and we feel bad for reviewing it, but it had to be done.
What comic is it?
Stetch.
Oh, okay.
It's from the Black and White boom. And, see, any comic issue is a potential target. And it was printed and it was sold to an audience, and therefore it is entirely subject to criticism. But, we just got a tweet back. Jack Kalis of Chimney Speak said, looks like May 27th at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Looks good. So that's what's going to be for that week. And so we gotta end the show. I got to shut up. I've been Fass of ArdraComic.com.
Kelly with the punchline is muchismo.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.